Since this came out, your profession, how you do it for Krishna, not so difficult. If the intention is, if the consciousness is, the human life that's been granted to me, very rare, again, Prahlad, durlabham, sudurlabham manasa janma, the very rarely achieved human form of life, is a gift by the Supreme Lord meant for a particular purpose. And let me apply myself for that particular purpose, including health. So it doesn't mean don't attend to health, but it means do that while keeping your mind absorbed in Krishna. How do you keep your mind absorbed in Krishna when you're doing something for your body? The body is meant for offering service to Krishna. So how do you, is that a mental adjustment, or how do you get there? Look after your health for Krishna. Then it's a question of becoming attached to Krishna as the goal of life. And how do you get there? By the medium of service. How do you get there? By chanting of the holy name. Awakening the desire to be in Krishna's service. So a meditation, very important. Meditation, when chanting the holy name, is I am meant for your service. And the holy name is Krishna, and we can consciously chant and pray, chant in a prayerful mood, may I become eternally engaged in your service, O holy name, which is none different than Krishna, but we're interacting with Krishna in that form. And the consequence is, when you're thinking about health and considerations of what you do for your health, when you don't do because it's detrimental to your health, because the consciousness becomes, this is also a service to Krishna. Although it's of the soul, has the eternal relation with Krishna, the body has a function. It's not meant so I can live longer, or etc., etc. Yogis, they know the art of suspending breath, the ingoing and the outgoing breath, and all of that described in Bhagavad Gita. And the purpose, so they can live longer. And what's the purpose of living longer? So they can live longer, because they're attached to the body. And, it's interesting, one can live longer. And, all kinds of things. One can meditate underwater. Prabhupada was explaining this. They can bury themselves in the earth and not have air to breathe. And, wow. But for what purpose? And still it's temporary. So we may say the same. Okay, well, the body is temporary, so why bother doing things that maintain health? Because this is an instrument meant for Krishna's service. And so we conserve our breath, or we use it, whatever we do, we use it in service to Krishna. And that's Krishna consciousness. Carry out prescribed duties and always think of Krishna. Awakening that by by conscious sadhana. Not just by the behavior, but by conscious sadhana. And we're getting this example, back to the story, the Bhagavatam narration. We're getting this picture of Brahma seeing difficulty, not only for himself, but because he's Brahma, he's concerned with the innocent, the brahmanas, and the other demigods, not just himself. He's not self-centered. He is service-centered, and he's recognizing a difficulty that there's only one solution, that's the Supreme Lord. And you have the capability. So they're persuading him, finish him, because you have the capacity to do so. And I understand you're doing so playfully, but we're feeling unsafe. Now, he doesn't need to feel unsafe. The Lord can play with a thing. Another common example, I've not heard this one before, children playing with a snake and then killing it. It's like the cat and the mouse. At least I've seen that one. Cats get a mouse. And they don't just gobble the mouse. They play with the mouse. And, you know, with their ears perked and ready to pounce and wait for the mouse to move. The mouse is trembling. And then naturally he's going to, out of fear, he'll run. And the cat grabs the mouse, puts the mouse back again. Oh, who trained the cat to do that? Or where does that propensity come from? It's in the Supreme Lord. He's demonstrating it here. Although the combatant seems to be so powerful, he's enjoying even the back and forth, you know, harsh talk. Although he's exhibiting anger. And it's a transcendental anger, but it's a secondary rasa. It's one of the seven. He's enjoying, although it doesn't look like enjoying. Looks like, you know, unpleasant. To understand the nature of this world, it's helpful, and how to navigate it, the place that we are, it's good to understand the personality of Godhead. Just like, let's take this, because part of my absorption these days is preparing for the Kidanagri retreat coming up. And there's two companion themes, Vaishnav compassion, and then how to exhibit compassion as a Vaishnav in communication, speech, which is right in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna speaks of speech in the mode of goodness. So compassion is found in chapter 16 of Bhagavad Gita as one of the divine qualities, not just mode of goodness. And there's yet a further application of compassion, and that is, it's one of the seven secondary rasas. And so there are impetuses for ecstatic love. So Brahma is experiencing compassion for the Brahmanas and the innocent and the demigods, in addition to his own selfishness. And that impetus is created by the Leela of the Supreme Lord. And where does that come from? It's come from the Supreme Lord. Where does everything come from? So when we experience something in this world of duality, an emotion, it happens. We shouldn't have emotions. It's natural. And part of bhakti is to learn how to Krishnaize or repose that emotion, just as Brahma is doing here, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's bhakti. As opposed to, like the question last night, when we're feeling an emotion, what's it like when you're not Krishna conscious? What's it like when you're Krishna conscious? So the distinction between material and spiritual life is, one is in forgetfulness and the other is with Krishna at the center. Forgetfulness of Krishna, Krishna at the center. And when there's forgetfulness of Krishna, then there's the demoniac nature, because demon in simple terms mean neglect or ignoring or denying or turning one's attention away from the Supreme Lord. And the divine nature is turning attention to the Supreme Lord in all aspects of life, including the sense of protection, including the sense of compassion, and including everything. Everything. So lots of times there's this how to, this and that question. And the simple answer is by the process of bhakti. And learn the process, apply the process of bhakti, and you'll know how to. But it's certainly okay to say how to, because there's, you know, hearing again and hearing again. But the main force between how to is not where we have insufficient understanding or information. How to? That's not where the problem is. The problem is our weakness of heart. Hridaya dorbalyam. We know how to, and we don't. Because we're still attached to the bodily conception, the sense of being an independent enjoyer, and the spirit of what's in it for me. And kartahami kimanyate, I was thinking to share that with this man yesterday. The material side, if we leave sadhana bhakti and mamanusmara, the remembrance of Krishna, we have by default, I'm the doer. So the cause of action. That's we can learn the message of Bhagavad Gita. Again, like this man's question, good question. We can learn the process of how action takes place and then just get stuck there and have knowledge but not apply it. Yes, we have lots of knowledge by the grace of Krishna and the representatives of Krishna. We have lots of knowledge that many people don't have that good fortune. They haven't had that contact with a pure devotee that is compassionate and gives knowledge of how to relieve one from material existence and its miseries. But we don't sufficiently apply it. And so we're a little stuck. And how to get unstuck? Well, part of the get unstuck has to do with the discussion we had the prior evening, not yesterday, but the evening before. The importance of regulated sadhana is accomplished by, this is just repeating that theme, but understanding why. Where is it going to take us? And so when that why is strong, clarity as to the goal and our interest to reach the goal includes I have to let go. That getting stuck is because we don't let go. We're holding on to the material conceptions and the material way of life and doing things the same way, hoping a different result, because I'm chanting. I'm reading Bhagavad Gita. I have knowledge, so I can keep doing the same things and going to get a different result. I'm doing the same things in basically the same way. So Krishna consciousness is the solution, and that Krishna consciousness is a solution doesn't mean something sectarian. Just yesterday, someone wrote me this long letter about non-sectarian truth. But the essence, when we say Krishna consciousness, it's not this, the institution or the ism, the belief system. It's a principle. And where that principle is manifest, the same result is going to come. And then, you know, add to that the destination of Krishna Loka, and that has its superlative facility or nature. Anyway, it's not a sectarian point of view, it's just it's a Siddhanta point of view. There's the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is different than heaven. Now, for some people, you know, what are you talking about? This is not a big deal. As far as they're concerned, it's the same. But careful examination of the Vedic scripture is, it's quite different. One is temporary, the other is eternal. Whether it's a place where you go to and you fall, you can't stay there. And others, you go there and you never return. Anyway, so one of the features that Krishna's Lord Vishnu, in the form of Lord Varaha, is doing, he's exhibiting this characteristic of expert. It's a quality. So by achieving, by performing one thing, multiple things are simultaneously accomplished. That's a characteristic of experts. It's not multi-processing, it's just with one thing, many things are accomplished. That's the Supreme Lord has that quality in full, and to some degree that may be found in any one of us, but never to the degree found in Krishna. So appreciating his quality brings, is an impetus. His characteristics and qualities is an impetus for ecstatic love. How wonderful is my Krishna? Whether it's his vibhutis or his bhagas, his spiritual opulences, all strength, all fame, all knowledge, all renunciation, all beauty, or anything that's in relation to him can be an inspiration. The vibhutis are inspirations for remembering him. Precisely what Arjuna requested and precisely what Krishna answers. By these one can remember me always. And the remembrance means, how wonderful is my Krishna? And we think of him in those ways, even things that we see of this world. And so a life of uninterrupted devotion or ananya bhakti has its impetuses. Therefore, it's encouraged that we hear or read scripture regularly. It'll help awaken our ecstatic love for Krishna and cleanse this distractedness that we are too familiar with, where our lives are so busy, our minds are so busy with managing the temporary. And some of that is needed, otherwise it's an irresponsible life. But if that's to the exclusion of remembrance of Krishna, that's a big problem. It's repeated birth and death and all the other things that go with it, the unwanted misery. So the Bhagavatam is giving us, in this wonderful narration of Lord Varaha and his battle with Hiranyaksha, a number of impetuses or stimulations of ecstatic love. It's not mythology. It's a transcendental form of the Lord, inspiring Brahma and the demigods and us to take shelter the next chapter he finishes him. Is that any discussion? Yes.
So the way I heard it is even in the spirituality, the spirituality bhakti process. Spirituality bhakti process.
Yeah.
There is an I there. Like we are always worried about our my growth, my connection with the spiritual, with the Supreme Lord, and how I should elevate. And it's always I is there.
Sure. We have to become impersonal.
Right. But the Sadhu Sangha is it's we, right? We are in a group. There is also an identity. And I'm having this confusion, Maharaj, in that area that we are saying that the people who do for work in the mood of goodness, bodily concept, and when we turn around and say we have to elevate ourselves towards bhakti and grow our bhakti and connect with the Supreme Lord, then there is an I there. And there are really mundane people, they just work for themselves, always they just take care of themselves materially and every aspect of it. So I'm thinking all those three areas and I'm trying to see how we are more elevated.
Well, let's slow down. Let's take a holistic approach. There's a simple answer. We're not the body, but we deal with the body. We're not liberationists, but we want to strengthen our relationship with Krishna. We're part of a sangha of other people, a community, a family, whatever. So that's also part of our existence. Body, mind, and soul. So it's holistic. It's not just one piece. Or, one piece, you speak about one piece and you're excluding the other. When we speak of one piece, you may focus on one piece, but then don't exclude the other. It's to be holistic about it, and then it simplifies.
Yeah. I heard something like that, so thank you for that.
Okay. Yes.
About the internal behavior.
Internal behavior.
Yeah. So based on internal behavior, external behavior automatically comes. But based on external behavior, how well we behave, if our internal consciousness not is good, that
It has beneficial effect. They both, again, this is a holistic answer. One affects the other. For example, during kirtan dance, so Prabhupada was asked, Swamiji, should I dance even if I don't feel ecstasy? Prabhupada said, dance and you'll feel ecstasy. So the external has beneficial effect for the internal. One nourishes the other. But the goal is not just the behavior. That's part of the message. For sure, if the internal is there, the problem is less our body, is more our mind. And then what the mind is driven by. But conversely, the mind is also responding to, the dictates of the senses, depending on one's conditioning.
Maharaj, when they get some feelings while performing devotional service.
Volume up. I got it.
Well, how do I discern? Is it like emotion or the feeling of the soul?
No. Mind. Now, there are feelings of the soul. However, at our stage, commonly, feelings are from the mind. Yes. Yes. Yeah, even that little experience isn't what real happiness is. It's a shadow or a reflection of real happiness. It's the modes of nature. The gunas have a tight grip and they don't easily let go. But cultivation. Not just cultivation of modes, but cultivation of Krishna consciousness. And again, this, you know, the body cultivation of the modes, they say eating habits or regulation habit or cleanliness habit promotes the modes, but it'll be supported and sustained, promotes the mode of goodness, but it will be sustained by spiritual happiness. So both. But yes, the modes are powerful. Yes.
I have another question related to yesterday's class, Maharaj, about fear.
Fear.
So I know when you do something wrong, the fear propensity comes.
Fear and propensity.
Basically, the fear in the heart that we can. If I did something wrong, then I can feel the fear. That's one my view. And you said like enjoying propensity is the root cause for the fear on your lecture.
Well, ignorance is the root cause. Ignorance.
Not enjoying
propensity is ignorance.
Yes, I understand. I can't able to relate that.
Enjoying propensity is passion.
Okay.
And that sense of the because the soul has enjoying propensity of the soul. It's our nature to be happy, to be enjoy. It's the independent enjoying, that's the ignorance part. Okay.
So, you know, and like you were like giving some examples that we are preparing our journey towards to the Lord. We don't want any more life comforts, and that is our process also. That is what we are, our goal. Our goal is to get back to Godhead. We don't want any more births and deaths. So all around us is like that. Like this birth is like we are already in this place. So I really don't want to be feared. I don't want to experience the fear. But like everything is like on, you know, on that condition that I'm feared. Like I'm feared that I don't want to take next birth.
That's the mode of nature.
And I don't want to.
That's the mode of nature. It's not you. It's the mode of nature. So separate yourself from the mode of nature, because you're not. No, how do I act from the soul when this thing is operating because of the modes of nature? That, you know, that's the, whatever the mode is that's prevalent, that's the challenge, or the art of living is to live from the soul. And so there are different things that are helpful to get there, to the live from the soul. One of them is to understand where does this fear arise from? And that's part of what we discussed yesterday. So it's absorption in the temporary. Dutiyam abhinivesh, absorption in duality. I like, I don't like. I'm attracted, I'm repulsed. It's, you know, I'm at the center and my enjoyment is at the center of me. And then fear arises. So that's from whence it comes. Now, what's the alternative? You read the rest of the verse. It's 11:2:37. The rest of the verse is, by hearing from a spiritual master and taking guidance from the spiritual master, one can go on the other side of that. And so it's not just dutifulness, it's absorption in another position. So if you go towards another position, the absorption in the temporary subsides because you've gone towards light. But the light is incomplete if it's just liberationist. I want to get on the other side of fear. It's Krishna should be pleased. But that's part of the instruction that one gets from a qualified person. It's not just how to get liberation. And that's what the Bhagavatam does. Svarupena Vyavastati. What do we do in that liberated position? And then we cultivate that.
It's a slow process.
Well, it's slow because we're attached. Even you don't like the fear, there's attachment.
Even I'm ignorant of the fear, but like the scriptures referring that, like,
but it's whether one is ignorant of the fear or not, it's there. And some persons are more aware and some persons are less aware. But it's there. It's there in an animal. It's there in an insect. It's there in human beings. It's there in a conditioned soul. And one can be more aware or less aware. And then, but what to do about it? Human form life provides the facility. And it's not just within ourselves. It's descending mercy needs to come. Then we can get on the other side of it. Material ignorance. And its companion, you know, passion, absorption in the temporary. I'm going to be the enjoyer. Yes?
Guru Maharaj, this is regarding the seeking help.
Yeah.
Mentality of people in general who do not take shelter of Supreme or unaware of Supreme's shelter. They depend on the mode of goodness people from where they get their help.
Well, they also, there's mode of passion people. You know, there's people that they go to those people. You're strong. There's demons and some people go to those people. So not just people who are pious go to the mode of goodness people, yeah.
So how could we relate to them that the actual spiritual shelter is coming from the Supreme and not the things what they are seeing temporarily.
Well, that's a nice discussion. Depends on, you know, the responsiveness depends on the person, the approach you take depends on the person. And my experience is, it's slow. Because they have faith in going in a certain direction. And they're not ready to let go of that which they have faith in, because they have faith in it. It's like, you know, people that practice yoga, or people that worship, or people that are interested in health, or anything that's like in the direction of mode of goodness, they have faith in it. And they have some idea, many have some idea of spirituality, and where that spirituality idea comes from, you know, it's commonly it's eclectic, or commonly it's just misguided. Not te vidu svarta katimi vishnu, persons that are, they have a teacher or teachings, and they like this teacher or teachings who doesn't know the goal is Vishnu. And so they place their faith there. It supports the mode of goodness. I'm thinking of some examples of persons who I've recently met without saying, because this is being recorded. You know, the teacher that some persons have been hearing from and have faith in, it's not Vishnu is to be pleased. It's something else. And they have faith. They experience something from that teacher and that teaching, and so, you know, they're comfortable. In fact, they're attached. So it depends on the circumstance. Prasadam, kirtan, and good character, good achar, sadachar, and a community that's has strong affective devotee care skill. So if they take part in this, they have a place that's, you know, I want to be part of this. And even if it's, you know, a person or a handful of persons, that's sufficient for some people. I feel comfortable with this circle of people. So therefore, Bhakti Vriksha is a really nice model to work with, where the people can be invited to a sangha, and then the Bhakti Vriksha members need to work out their stuff. So that's a good lead-in for the topic that's going to be discussed this coming weekend, both the Vaishnava compassion model and how we communicate with one another model, the nonviolent communication, or the affective skill of a Vaishnava in communicating. So that's going to be very helpful to help those people, the mode of goodness people, because the mode of goodness people today, it's largely, you know, saying it bluntly, largely the mode of ignorance. It's identification with the body, for starters, which is false ego in the mode of ignorance. So then there's, I want to become good and happy and healthy and, you know, all those good things, without understanding Vishnu as the goal. So how do you communicate that without judging persons? We'll hear some more as we get involved in this weekend's discussion and interactive method. Anything else? Okay. Shall we? Yes. Hare Krishna. Okay.
So we know that Lord Vrindavan is an incarnation of the plenary portion of Krishna.
Yes.
And I'm wondering how can I understand this word, plenary portion, because on the one hand, plenary means complete, and portion means incomplete. So, what is the complete part, and what is the incomplete part in relation to
Lord
himself?
Well, it's the shortcoming is the English language itself, because plenary means complete, and portion means not complete. So it's meant to indicate, like we read in Nectar of Devotion, Krishna has 64 qualities, and he's the only one that has those 64. And four of them are missing, or not, they're not manifest in Vishnu Tattva forms. So it's not plenary in the absolute sense, but in the same category, Vishnu Tattva. Therefore, plenary. Therefore, portion.
So, can I say like it's the same person, but different emotions?
Not just emotion, different characteristics. Here's the way Jiva Goswami... I've heard from Radhika Raman, who did his PhD on some verses from Paramatma Sundarbha. Jiva Goswami uses this language more or less, that Paramatma, Vishnu, and he's a portion of a plenary portion, he suppresses, that's the language in English, the fullness of Bhagavan. He doesn't exhibit the fullness of Bhagavan because he's dealing with the material energy. And so to deal with the material energy, he doesn't deal with the fullness of the activities in Vaikuntha or the activities in Goloka. But it's his expansion with a particular function, and he oversees Prakriti, including everything, beginning, middle, and end, and everything. So that's the function who then, as the Supreme Lord, he suppresses. I mean, I don't know if this is exactly what the Sanskrit word that Jiva Goswami uses, or if it's Radhika Raman simplifying the Sanskrit terminology or something, but it's Radhika Raman's explanation. The fullness, the plenariness, Bhagavan is not manifest by Paramatma. So, plenary in the sense of the same category of, it's not Krishna Tattva, it's Vishnu Tattva. Plenary in that sense, and portion because it's not the fullness. So that's the meaning. It's the English language to help convey something.
Transcendental, and when they come to perform Leela, they come in the same transcendental form.
Yes.
But how are they visible to the, say, Hiranyaksha, for example, who is not a transcendental person?
He makes himself visible. That's how. He who is normally invisible become visible. It's mercy.
So even though Krishna in the battlefield showed the blood and all that, it's not material at all.
That's correct.
And is it the same case for the individual soul is also transcendental, we have a transcendental form?
Well, I'm not sure what your question is. Does the individual soul have transcendental form? Yes. It's not visible. It's not mature. It's immature. It's dormant. Dormant doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Just like a seed is dormant. But it doesn't mean there's not life inside. You can drive the life out. You fry the seed and the life is gone. Then it's no longer dormant. Dead. That matter. But the soul has form. It's dormant. Krishna consciousness is there. It's dormant. It does need to be awakened. And that's a spiritual event. Awakening of dormant spiritual form, spiritual consciousness. Their eternal life. Eternal life is being awakened. It's eternal life, but it's dormant. Time is very flexible. Are you all right? Stop bouncing. Okay. We're done. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.